Welcome to this week's message. I'm Malcolm Baxter, Senior Pastor of Heart Church, and I'm so glad you're here. Whether you've been coming for years or it's your first time on the podcast, we hope this inspires you.
Today and then over the Easter weekend, yeah, we're going to be looking at a little series called Endings, Beginnings, and the Bit in Between. So today I'm going to do the bit in between. And then as we come into the Easter weekend, over Good Friday and Easter Sunday, we'll look at endings and then beginnings. Because, you know, the Easter story is full of endings, beginnings, and bits in between. As indeed, life is full of endings, beginnings, and a whole lot of the bit in between. So this morning, I am not going to preach from one verse in the Bible. I'm going to preach from lots of passages from the Bible. And there's going to be some scriptures that are going to come up on the sides of the screens here, which I'm not going to read, but I just want them to be there so that they can bless you throughout the morning. These are the scriptures that I'm like, I can't preach on what I'm preaching today without referencing these, but there's just too many things. So I'm like, I just want to leave them up there. Let the word of God do what God wants to do in your heart so you can just engage with them. They're going to stay there the whole time. So today we're going to look at the bit in between. That the idea of that is around that sense of when we're waiting on God for something. Maybe if we look at the Easter story, that kind of Easter Saturday where Christ has died, he has not risen from the dead yet, and there is a sense of waiting, of unknown, of not being sure about what's going to happen. That bit in between can bring its own challenges. And for us as well, you know, in our lives, when we find ourselves in whatever circumstances, in that bit in between, it can bring its own challenges. So what I want to do is today, we're going to look at, I want to show us from the Bible that all of us, in some sense, are waiting. We're all living in the bit in between. And then I want to give us three ways that can help us to flourish and to thrive as we wait for God. Three things that can help us, whether it is in the short period of time or a long period of time, in how to help us to be blessed and to not just survive, but to flourish as we find ourselves in moments where we feel like we're in between phases of life or we are waiting on God for things. So that's what we're gonna do. So let's start by reading from the Bible. We're gonna read from the book of Acts, Acts chapter 1. So Jesus has, we're gonna jump to the end of the Easter story. He has risen from the dead and he is about to ascend to heaven. And this is what happens. It says, this is the disciples are gathered around Jesus. It says, they gathered around him and asked him, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom of Israel? And he said to them, it is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. And after he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. They were looking intently up into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. Men of Galilee, they said, why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way that you have seen him go into heaven. So right at the very beginning of the history of the church, these disciples who will then go and wait for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, there is a promise given to them that as Jesus has ascended to heaven, that he will also return to come and bring them into glory. And I don't think I need to tell you this. Jesus has not come back yet, right? He has not come back yet. He has promised that as he's gone, he will return. And if you look around you, he hasn't, right? I'm not the only one who thinks that, hopefully, in this room. He has not come back yet, which means that every single person in this room, everyone who calls on God, anyone who is a Christian, is living in the bit in between. We are all living in the bit in between when Christ has risen, he has ascended to the Father, and he is yet to return. And it is through and through and through our New Testament that this is such a key thing in our lives. So it's not just here, but elsewhere in the New Testament, again and again and again. And there are so many Bible verses I would love to read to you. We could be here for an hour with me showing you throughout the New Testament how central the idea of Jesus' return is to the faith of the early church and therefore to our faith. The idea that he is coming back is through and through, book after book, letter after letter in our Bible. Let me just read you a couple. Hebrews chapter 9, verses 27 to 28. It says, just as people are destined to die once and after that to face judgment,
So Christ was sacrificed once to take away the sins of many, and he will appear a second time, not to bear sin, but to bring salvation to those who are waiting for him. So the writer of the Hebrews, he puts the very return of Christ in the context of the ones who he will come back for. What's our job? We're waiting. For those who are waiting, those who are thinking about the return, who are desiring the return. He describes the Christians not as people who are, he doesn't use any other description here other than those who are waiting. Us waiting for God is through and through what it means to be a Christian. 1 Thessalonians 1, chapter 9 to verses 9 to 10 says, "For they themselves report what kind of reception you gave us. They tell how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, Jesus, who rescues us from the coming wrath." He describes the very act of salvation as being something that you've turned away from a life without God and you've come into the community of those who are waiting, those who are waiting for Christ to come again. If you like Jesus taught about store up for yourselves treasure in heaven where it doesn't decay and rot, don't store up for yourselves treasure on earth. Paul in the Philippians, he talks about fixing your eyes on things above. Paul talks so many times in the New Testament about the day of Christ, until the day of Christ, waiting for the day of Christ, which is the day that Christ will return, which means through and through into the depths of who we are as Christians, we are all waiting for the most important thing that it is possible to wait for, which is for Jesus Christ to come again. And this, I know if you've been a Christian for a while, like I'm not telling you anything new in saying that Jesus has promised he'll come again, but it can be so easy for us to lose sight of just how important that should be to us. That should be the deepest desire of our hearts, is for Christ to come. So much so that no other thing, you could be given every single thing that your heart has ever longed for or desired or chased after or strived for. You could receive everything that you could possibly imagine, and there should still be the deepest longing of our heart yet to be fulfilled, which is for Jesus Christ. He should hold that place in our hearts greater than any finances or relationship or success or fame or whatever. That place belongs to Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ alone. Which means that we, whether you know in your heart there are things that you're longing for, or you feel like you've got everything you could ever desire, we are all together. We should be all together in our longing for Christ, because we are the ones who are waiting for Jesus. Everything we're doing is until he comes again. And that should therefore, if we want to remind us of that or tell us that, because that will then impact every other kind of waiting, I think, that we will undergo. Everything is within its context that goes, that is the deepest thing that will satisfy my soul. Nothing will bring me fulfillment other than that day, to the extent that when I come to see Jesus Christ. But what the Bible doesn't teach us is for me to go, okay, did you hear that? Great. So just forget about your day-to-day life then. You know, those things you're finding hard, those things you want, those things you're struggling with, those things you're desiring, they don't matter. That's not what the New Testament teaches us. Because Jesus taught us to pray, your kingdom come, your will be done, where? On earth, as it is in heaven. Jesus spent his whole life walking around bringing the kingdom of God onto the earth. Therefore, we should be people who don't just go, oh, well, who cares? I'll be with Jesus one day. Although that helps us to put our lives in perspective, we are people that go, no, there should be a desire in us to see his kingdom come about now. And God, Jesus says this, the New Testament says it, the Bible as a whole speaks about God has plans for us now. God has plans for me to do to bless others now, and God has plans to bless me now. God speaks. The New Testament is through and through with the idea that prophetic words are supposed to be in the life of the church, because God's active voice through his Holy Spirit speaking into the lives of his people, because God cares about the things that we care about. He cares about how our life is going. He wants to speak into our businesses and our futures and our finances and our relationships and our families. He wants to do that. He loves to do that. He doesn't go, no, don't worry. You've got your ticket to heaven. So just whatever comes. No. What's happening in the here and now is actually also, within its context, is important. But that means that if we are find ourselves in a place where we're waiting on something, longing for something, it can be hard. It can be difficult to live in the waiting. And there are lots of different kinds of waiting. But let me just talk about two different ones. There's a challenge in waiting for something when you know it's coming, right? If you're just desperately looking at the clock, waiting for it to be 5 o'clock so you can go home, right? Or if you're waiting for your exam results to come back, or if you're waiting for that doctor's appointment, or you've got dentistry work that you've got to do and you're not looking forward to it, or you've got that holiday booked and you just can't wait to get there. There's a waiting that when you know there's an end date, there's a challenge still to that waiting, that we need patience and endurance and stuff, but you know that day is coming, for good or for ill, you know it's coming. And then there's a different kind of waiting where we're waiting for things or hoping or longing for things that we do not know how long we will have to wait for or if they will actually ever come. If you're waiting for healing, you've got a longing to be married, to have children. I don't know, there are a million different things that I couldn't list here today that you can apply to your own life. There's a different challenge that comes when you don't know if this is going to be 6 months or 15 years or if it will be the rest of your life. Until Jesus comes and we enter into glory and we are adopted as his children. We have we are his bride. We experience the truest form of relationship, of love, of connection. And all of those things get fulfilled in eternity. Some of the things we don't know whether we'll actually see them. And it can be challenging when we don't know. There's different challenges to the different kinds of waiting. And then it can get even harder sometimes if we are waiting, if we're living in that bit in between, if we feel like God has spoken to us. You know, if you, I don't know, are in business and you feel like God has spoken to you and you've taken some steps of faith out as a, you know, in your job or your career, and seem like a long way yet to see the fruit of that decision. Right? It can be hard if you feel like God has made promises over your life and it's another birthday's come round and another birthday's come round and you're yet to see it and you don't know, but you feel and you know, you hope you're right, but you feel like God has spoken. That can make it very, very difficult, challenging, frustrating, upsetting to live in that bit in between, waiting, longing, hoping, whether that be for Christ to return or for that thing that you have longed for your whole life. And especially in a world that tells you, just go get it now. It can be hard to trust God in those moments in a world that goes, no, don't put your faith in something else. You go self-actualize. You go and find a way to it. You go get it now. Short-circuit your way, shortcut your way to get the things that you want. And it creates, our world can create such an illusion that you can just go and get it all. And God's like, no, I want it for you. And that's not a new problem. You know, look at Abraham in the Bible. God made a promise to him that he would have a child. It seemed impossible. So he just went on his own way and made children, right? And none of those were God's plan. Like, this is such a human thing, right? For us to want to. And it can be so hard. It can be hard for our faith. It can be hard for our emotions. We can feel numb to the world. We can get bitter. We can get angry. We can get frustrated. Because it's difficult to wait. It's not easy to live in the bit in between. So we need help. We need God's help. And I want to give us three things this morning, maybe that can help you, whether you are just staring at the clock, waiting for it to be 5 o'clock so you can go home, or if you have got a longing that you've carried for 15 years that you're still clinging onto and that you are desperate to see God move into. Here they are. The first one is, how can we thrive in that? How can we survive, but also how can we flourish and thrive in the bit in between as we wait from God? The first one is we can wait with purpose. We can wait with purpose. We're going to read from 1 Corinthians. This is what it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 7 and 8. It says, therefore, you do not lack any spiritual gift as you eagerly wait for the Lord Jesus Christ to be revealed. He will also keep you firm to the end so that you will be blameless on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, he's putting this in the context of waiting for the Lord Jesus. But so let's remember that. But also apply this to the things that you feel like you're waiting for. He says, you do not lack any spiritual gift as you wait. You know, later in Corinthians, in chapters 12, 13, 14, go read those. They're amazing. He talks about the breadth of the spiritual gifts that the Holy Spirit wants to give to us for other people. He wants to give me gifts to bless you. And what he's saying here is, as we're waiting, and the identity of the early church is one of waiting. As you are waiting for that desire to be fulfilled, as you are waiting to see God come through, as we're all waiting for him to return, he's like, let's use the gifts of the Spirit. Let's build the kingdom of God. Let's be at work. Let's wait with purpose. Let's not wait until we get that thing in place or that relationship in place or that desire fulfilled for us to do the work of the kingdom of God. to be a blessing to your church family, to be a blessing to your world, to be seeking to pursue the kingdom of God in the moments of waiting. In those bits in between, we can wait with purpose because God is not waiting to add something to your life that will mean you're now worthy of him being used. No, he's like, let's do something now. Let's build the kingdom now. Things that will last forever, not knowing if I'll get that thing or not. He's like, you don't lack any spiritual gifts. Church, I want to encourage us. We don't need to lack any spiritual gifts. We can be used of God while we are waiting. And that doesn't mean that the pain or the frustration goes away. It doesn't mean that I just busy myself and distract myself. No, these things can live together. As we pursue, we can wait with purpose while we're also hurting, while we're also being confused. And the other thing that this does for me in terms of waiting or purpose is about we gotta have faith in God. It takes faith in God to continue to follow God in the midst of being frustrated at God that he hasn't given you the things that you think you deserve or that you want or the things that you think he said you can have. Listen to this in Jude chapter 1, verses 20 and 25. He says, but you, dear friends, by building yourselves up in the most holy faith and praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in God's love as you wait for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to bring you to eternal life. Be merciful to those who doubt. Save others by snatching them from the fire. To others, show mercy mixed with fear, hating even the clothing stained with corrupted flesh. And to him who is able to keep you from stumbling, and to present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy, to the only God, our Savior, be glory, majesty, power, and authority through Jesus Christ, our Lord, before all ages, now and forevermore. Amen. See, he's saying here, he's like, there's even more as we're waiting. Go save others. Go help people who are doubting. If you're doubting right now, that is okay. You are allowed to have doubts. God still loves you if you've got doubts. And he's saying here, go save others. Go spread the gospel. Tell the good news of Jesus Christ. We're all waiting for Jesus to get back. We're all waiting for Jesus to come back. Maybe we're all waiting for things to be fulfilled in our lives. And he's saying, in that process, share spiritual gifts, Paul's saying. And now in here, he's saying, go spread the gospel. You know, because people in the world, people in this church, people in your lives need to see hope in the midst of despair. Hope in the midst of waiting. Not just like, hey, look, Instagram, social media vibes, like, look at how perfect my life is. No, we need to see each other being people who, while we are still waiting for things, while we are stressed out about things because we've taken steps of faith and we don't know what's going to happen, we need to see people who are still willing to help those who doubt. Real people showing that there is faith in God to be found in these moments. We can wait with purpose. And I want to encourage us. I feel really strongly in this service to encourage you. It says here to stand firm. Stand firm in your faith. Don't let these things get bitterness in your heart towards God. Don't let these things worm their way in and just gradually drift away and away and away from God. No, let us stand firm in our faith while we wait, as every Christian across history has waited in our own ways and in exactly the same way together as we wait for Jesus' return. Second thing is to wait in prayer and in praise. Philippians 4 verses 5 to 7 says, let your gentleness be evident to all, the Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Church, we've got to pray. You know, where else can we take these things that we're hoping for or longing for or desiring? There is a promise here that there will be peace. Now, I wish it said, and I wish it was true, that you'll take those to God and he'll go, yeah. Tomorrow morning, don't worry, it'll all be there for you. But it doesn't, and we know that's not how it's working. But there is a promise that there will be peace. So as we're waiting, as we're struggling, as we're stressed, as we're frustrated, there is a promise that there can be a peace that goes deeper than all of those things. That means we can walk with confidence that, you know what, not only is Christ coming again, but he is in control. He has got me. And everything will be okay, regardless actually of what the circumstances around me happen. That kind of peace that means you could take away everything that I have longed for or hoped for, And that peace could somehow still remain in me in the place of prayer. Because Jesus is coming back and he is faithful and he is with us. Submit them to God again. What else can we do but pray? And what else can we do but praise him? It says here that we bring them with thanksgiving. You know, the Bible links thanksgiving and praise together lots of times. And that sense of as we come and we worship him. Do you know, there is something profound where someone comes before God in our frustration, in our chaos, in our doubts, and still chooses by faith to worship God. To declare the goodness of God, the faithfulness of God, to declare the majesty of God. Even though we don't understand how all of this is going to work out, that we are in the right place of truth when we come and say, God, you are worthy of it all. You are glorious, you are mighty, you are trustworthy. When we come and pour out our praise with him, there is something incredible that happens inside of us as we position ourselves in the truth that God is who he says he is. Even in the midst of our doubts and our insecurities and our frustrations, there is something powerful. Church, we can pray. Romans 8, verse 18, and then we'll jump to verse 22, says, I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. Verse 22, we know that the whole creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth right up to the present time. Not only so, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoption to sonship, the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope we were saved, but hope that is seen is no hope at all. Who hopes for what they already have? But if we hope for what we do not yet have, we wait for it patiently. In the same way the Spirit helps us in our weakness, we do not know what we ought to pray. But the Spirit himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. And he who searches our hearts knows the minds of the Spirit because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God. And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. Church, you don't even have to know what to pray. Just come into the presence of God. Come and bring your stuff to God and the Holy Spirit will pray for you. Isn't that incredible? In the promise that God is working all things for the good of those who love him. This leads us on to our final thing that can help us to grow and to flourish in the waiting is that we wait in the presence of God. You know, in the second half of Matthew, chapter 28, verse 20, Jesus, who is about to ascend to heaven, says to them, "And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age." You know, and Jesus, when he ascended to heaven, he promised that he would send the Holy Spirit. And you go read John 14 to 18 if you want. It's just a wonderful passage of our Bible where he promises that the Holy Spirit, God the Holy Spirit, Jesus will send the Holy Spirit to live with us and to live in us. So as we are waiting, the very presence of God is here with us. You are not alone. And I know no one can understand the thing that you're going through like you. The Holy Spirit can. He is in you and he is with you. And truly, where else can we go but the presence of God? We can try, you have tried, I have tried, I am trying to find what I need in other places. And they fail. Sometimes they look like they work, but they don't. Truly, in the presence of God is where we can find the fulfillment and the peace and the safety that our soul and our hearts and our desires are longing for. Because here's the thing, none of us know how our lives are going to work out. I don't know if that thing that you're desiring is going to come to you. I don't know. I've got things in my life that I've longed for that I now live in the fruit of. I've got things in my life that I am still longing for that I am yet to see, and I don't know if I will see. And I bring them to God and I go, is this from you, Lord? You know, and sometimes I feel like God speaks. Recently, I even said to God, God, do you just not speak to me anymore? Like, he seems to have gone quiet on some of this stuff. And it's not easy in those moments to know, how do I keep walking? Well, we come into the presence of God. Because I don't know the answers to your questions. Sometimes we can look back over our lives and we can see exactly how God was working. And we can see, oh, I see why that didn't happen because then this happened. And gosh, I'm glad that didn't happen because this is better than that. And there are other times where we look back and we go, I have no idea. I have no idea why that happened. I don't know why I haven't received this. Because one thing that we do know from the Bible is that God's ways are higher than ours. Sometimes they are extraordinarily higher than ours, beyond even the possibility of my mind getting it. Sometimes he gives us a little glimpse and he helps us to understand, and sometimes he doesn't. He just asks us to trust him. And we know that God's times are not our times. The Bible is full of people waiting for God, sometimes for hundreds of years, for God to come and bring about what he would do. Even the Easter story that we are looking at this over this next week, the people are waiting for 400 years of silence for the Messiah to come, until Jesus comes into Jerusalem on a donkey as the king coming to save his people. There's so many things we don't know, but here are some things we do know. When you come into the presence of God, we are in the presence of the one who can turn mourning into dancing. We're in the presence of the one who can turn ashes into beauty. We're in the presence of one who can take sorrow into rejoicing. We are in the presence of the God who does, who has, who does, and who will do miracles. We are in the presence of the God who does not let any word that he has spoken return to him until it has fulfilled what he has done. We are in the presence of the one who is faithful to every single thing he has promised. We are in the presence of the one who can receive, who can deliver what he has promised. We are in the presence of that God. And we are in the presence of the one who can turn a valley of dry bones, something that looks completely hopeless, and turn it into a living, breathing army. We are in the presence of the one who we'll see on Friday can turn the most hopeless, despairing, seemingly over circumstances of life and bring the greatest life to bear. We are in the presence of the God who promises that he is working all things for the good of those who love him, who are called according to his purpose.
Thanks for joining us today. We hope you enjoyed this message. To find out more about Heart Church, visit heart.church. Be sure to subscribe and share this podcast with your friends. Thanks for listening, and have a blessed week.